Hi, friends! Join us as we dive into the themes, metaphors, and foreshadowing of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We are your hosts, Leah,
Sarah,
Tabby,
and whether you're a new viewer or a longtime fan, welcome to Becoming Buffy.
Hey guys, welcome back to Becoming Buffy, the Scooby Secrets spoiler section. I never know what to say, how to call this thing. Welcome back to the spoiler section, basically, of Becoming Buffy. Today we're talking about season 5, episode 15, I Was Made to Love You. I know we say this like all the time, like every time, but as I was like writing down the notes for this, I was like, oh my gosh, guys, we're on episode 15, which duh, of course we are. Like we're on the back end, but I'm like, we're going to be finishing season 5 really soon, and I
can't
believe
that.
Last
longer.
That's so right.
Prophecy Girls has just finished season 6, and I agree with every single one of their takes. Like, it's been so good, but I'm just like, I've been watching them go through season 6, and I'm just like, oh, we have to do that next year.
Oh god, I'm scared.
I'm excited about some things, but like, and here's the thing. And I want to preface like all this. I know we like rag on season 6 and 7 a lot on here. And I'm not talking, and I know a lot of people think it's like, oh, because it's Buffy and stuff. It's not necessarily
no,
that.
It's
I think
the
there's
themes. It's just the themes, heavy.
But there's also aspects of the season that are not well written. And so sometimes it feels like they're just harping on the same themes for like 6 episodes in a row where there's like, yep, not really much else to talk about in this episode because everyone's just, you know, self-harming again.
My thing is that it's not about... If it was a season about Buffy and Spike being romantic, it would be different. But they're not being romantic. It's like abusive and toxic.
Yeah.
And so it's not about Buffy and Spike being together. It's about them being toxic. So her with anyone, if her and Angel looked like her and Spike did
right.
in season 6, I would dislike it just as much. Or if her and yeah. Riley, which, I mean, I don't like Riley, so that's already kind of like, you know, whatever. But
already
the dynamic
toxic.
Just isn't good. Like, I prefer Buffy and Spike in this season. Like,
Right.
And even now, he does some toxic things in this season, but at least overall, there is some semblance of romance sometimes. Mm. Whereas in season 6, there's no romance. It's all sexual, which sometimes is fine, but it's like, it's sexual abuse. Like, it's just yeah.
not in the mental state.
A lot
Buffy's
of self-harm
in.
Going on too.
Yeah, it's just really, it's really heavy. And it's some of it is some of the storylines in season 6 or some of the things that are portrayed are beautiful. And I love that they took it there in some ways. But then other things are just really, really hard to watch and mm-hmm. really, really hard to break down. And I think it's, honestly, I think this is the last innocent episode that we are mm. ever going to have of Buffy. Like, mm-hmm. a part of Buffy dies in this episode.
Yeah.
And it never comes back.
Yep. Yeah, I feel like that every episode of this season has taken a little bit more out of Buffy. And it was so interesting. I mean, not to talk about season 6 too much because we will definitely get to that. But it was interesting. I was listening to Prophecy Girls talking about the end of season 6 and Grave and how Xander's the one who ultimately saves the world. And they were talking about how it's so frustrating in a season where the women were heavily abused. I mean, you had Xander leaving Anya at the altar. You have Spike abusing Buffy. You have Buffy just at the lowest of the low, and then you have Willow and Tara and all this stuff, and then the trio is like the ultimate like misogynistic nice guy, I say in quotations, incel behavior, and then at the end of the day, who's the one who saves the world? It's Xander. And like, I know people are torn on that, and like, I go back and forth because I do think it's so beautiful that Xander and Willow's friendship like shines through, but they were talking about how frustrating it is that a man saves the world and Buffy is like stuck in a grave with Dawn, and how they just wish that it had been a woman that saved the world, that we could have had Buffy like rise up the very end and save the world. And I was like, that's so interesting. That's something I never thought about before.
Well, on top of that, I think it's frustrating to see Xander standing up there willing and yeah. able to accept. Well, yeah, period. Start there. But also, it's just frustrating to see Xander standing up there, standing behind Willow, literally like killing someone, But then he won't stand up there at the altar with Anya. And you're sure. just like, oh my yeah, God, you're there for one woman, but not there for the yeah, other.
Like, it's actually a lot easier. Again, I've said this before. It's easier to show up for the big moments than it is for the small ones. Mm-hmm. Not that standing up, like getting married would be a small thing.
the but teeniest like, and tiniest of moments. Yeah,
just think of a deal, Xander. You can do it. But like, saying I do to someone he supposedly loves is so much easier than going and literally risking your life. You know, so I don't know. There's, yeah. And we'll talk about it once we get there. I just thought that was really interesting. But it's just, it makes me weary to think about all the stuff we have to talk about because this season has beaten me down a lot just with like a lot of some of the poor writing. Like we just, not for you listeners at this point, but where we are with recording and stuff, we just dropped our Into the Woods recap. And I was kind of like going through that as I was writing up stuff. And as I was like going through everything, I was like, this is just the worst written episode, and it's the worst like cut together and directed. It's choppy. The writing is not very good. The directing is not very good. And there's been a couple of episodes like that, not to that extent, but there's been like moments and things like that have happened this season where I kind of feel like the writing is starting to falter a little bit. Obviously, season 5 is still brilliant and still really great, but there's little moments that are starting to chip away where you can tell it's just not as tight as it was for the first few seasons. And I think that's the hardest part for me when getting to the end of the series is having poor writing when it's like, oh, I know what Buffy, like it's more capable of this than this, you know?
I think what helps me, I'm trying to stay in the positives.
No, I appreciate it.
No, for me, when I'm talking about like when I'm gonna watch season 6 and season 7, not you guys. I agree with everything you're saying. I think that at least in both seasons, there are some good things out of it that I genuinely do enjoy. That I'm only really trying to focus on in my head right now before we made it there, so I can look forward to that and address everything else when it comes up. But like, I feel like I'm in the minority of like enjoying the direction of Willow in season 6. Enjoying is not the right word, but like appreciating what they were trying to do, and like the metaphors that it brings out, and a lot of the topics that it explores. And I think that it works. I do understand what you're saying, Sarah, about like, you know, I do think that they did set it up differently about her with power, but I think that does work still also in an addiction. I think they both could work together. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are some really beautiful and heartbreaking scenes with Willow. And I do, out of all the hardships that the people go through in season 6, that one I can kind of, mm-hmm. I can swallow a lot more because you could tell that it's done with a little bit more care and thoughtfulness. Mm-hmm. Everything about Buffy in season 6 just genuinely puts me in a downer mood anytime mm-hmm. I have to see it with every single episode with Buffy. So at least with Willow, I can like yeah. absorb and process it and appreciate it in a different way. So out of all of the stuff in season 6, I don't want to say I'm excited for because that seems weird, but like I can appreciate that going yeah. into it.
Totally. And I'm going to try really hard when we go into season 6, going in with like an open mind and trying to look for the things that I do enjoy while also critiquing it. Because if not, we're just not going to enjoy ourselves and stuff. But I bring up all the season 6 stuff because this episode has it lays so much groundwork for season 6 in the later part of this season. And it has so many Easter eggs and things. I mean, obviously, we have the introduction of Warren. Like we haven't had him on the show before and he's going to be huge in season 6. We have the introduction of the April bot and we know the Buffy bot is coming soon and she's obviously a big part of this season and the beginning of the next one. Knowing all of that, I got to say with this rewatch, I've been really surprised to see why, like, and not surprised, but I've been surprised to kind of see more of why the writers went in the direction that they did with season 6. I mean, Buffy wrestling with wondering if she needs to change herself to be desirable to men and wondering if she's evil and all that stuff in this season really sets up well for her spiraling in season 6. Like, I think that is one of the like better parts of the transition from season 5 to 6. Like if you're going to have Buffy die at the end of season 5 and be resurrected in the next one, it makes total sense that she's going to come back being depressed and all that stuff after being in heaven. And if she's already struggling with the stuff that she struggled with this season, she's going to spiral in the next one. And then, you know, Willow's addiction to power and magic, like Tabby was talking about, we're seeing that really kind of build up this season.
And they build Xander's, it up well.
Yes. Xander's self-loathing, Spike's obsession with the Slayer. Season six is actually a very organic next step. And in this episode was hard for me to watch because I can see where they're going, which is kind of nice. Like I can like I go, okay, that's an organic transition, but it's also like, ooh, it's coming. So we obviously have the Buffy bot coming soon. And I think it's so interesting that you can draw a straight line from April in this episode to Warren trying to have mind control over Katrina in Dead Things and how he is like, hey, if I'm going to basically create this sentient robot or what appears to be a sentient robot who has feelings and do all these things to someone. And he talks about, you know, he thinks he could love her. It makes complete sense why he would take Katrina, an actual woman, and go, hey, well, what's the difference if I just, you know, tweak a little bit so that now she listens to everything and everything I say and does everything that I want. I feel so bad for Katrina. Every time I see her in this episode, I'm like, oh no. Oh no.
Poor girl.
And then again, mention this with Warren. We have the single most hated character in the show introduced, Warren.
This is probably the most likable he'll ever be to me in this episode.
Yeah, I actually wrote that too.
And he's disgusting in this episode too. That should show you where the bar is with Warren. I'm being actually so for real.
Yes. And he's interesting to me in this episode because he's not portrayed as despicably as we know he is. Mm-hmm. So we see him, we all viscerally react. Yeah, he's still bad, but we're like, oh, he's going to get so much worse. The foundation is there for sure. It's interesting how he's portrayed as like this desperately lonely person, which can be dangerous given what, you know, Buffy says about a person in love being really dangerous. But he's also 100% a person with a soul. And we have Spike, the soulless demon, coming to him wanting him to make a sex robot. Like the evil soulless thing is taking notes and getting ideas from the human with a soul. That tells you how awful Warren is. Mm-hmm. He's proof that a soul doesn't mean you're automatically good, which I think is a really interesting thing. I wish they had would have gone in on that a little bit more, especially keeping that in mind with Spike in season seven. Everyone just kind of assumes, oh, Spike has a soul now. That means he's good. No, it means he's capable of good, but that doesn't mean he's automatically good. And I think I wish the writers would have gone a little bit harder on that. So we have this moment where Willow says in the magic shop, she says, when people get lonely, maybe it's easier to have someone around, even someone you made up. I don't know if you guys remember, but in Wrecked, after Tara leaves her, Willow magically fills up Tara's clothes. And we have like that moment where she like hugs her on the bed. And it just, there's so many moments, like a big part of this episode was loneliness. And I feel like almost every single character, I would say pretty much every character we see experience some form of loneliness throughout the series run. We have Giles, I think in season four was really lonely. We have Xander feeling really lonely, I would say in season six, especially after he leaves Anya. Obviously that's self-inflicted, but whatever. I digress. Buffy feels alone pretty much the entire series. And then we have Tara or Willow in this moment in Wrecked and stuff. Pash the Nerd brought up a really interesting point which I don't fully agree with it, but it was something interesting to think about. In that same conversation, when they're talking about how Warren must be feeling lonely, it's actually Tara as one of the people who expresses a massive amount of sympathy for Warren. And he's the one that ends up killing her and seeing red, which I thought was really interesting. So, you know, gotta make everybody's mood worse.
So much to look forward to.
I know. Everyone's like, well, we know what we're not going to be listening to. Season six from them. Speaking of Tara, let's talk about some of the things that I really loved about her in this episode. We saw her, and we talked about this in the spoiler-free section, we saw Tara really step up her side-eye game in this episode.
For real. The sass.
And I was like, dang, like Tara's developing quite, like, I think they have upped, the writers have upped her confidence ever since family to kind of say, hey, like she feels accepted and it's done wonders for her self-esteem. And she's now more assured in who she is. And so she feels much more confident and able to speak up when she sees things that are just clearly not okay. I really appreciated all of her faces and the way that she kind of was holding both Willow and Xander accountable. And it reminded me of, was it Closer and Far Away, a Nearer or Far Away? I don't remember the episode title. It's Buffy's birthday episode in season 6 after Buffy's trying to break things off with Spike and they're all locked in the house. And Tara just keeps making all these comments when Spike is trying to hit on Buffy and Buffy's clearly uncomfortable with it. And this just gave me that vibe.
She's like, in your pants?
I love her. I can't wait to watch the episode just for all her snarky comments. Again, amazed at the confidence Tara is displaying and the quiet but powerful ways that she's standing up, not just for herself, but for others. That's the thing that you see with Tara in this episode. Like, she's disapproving of Willow and Xander's responses, but she's doing it mostly because she recognizes that there's real people that are being objectified and real people that are being hurt. So like when Xander's making those comments about the April bot, Tara looks at Anya like to see how Anya's going to respond. And when Willow's objectifying the April bot, you can tell that Tara has compassion for April. And this is just completely consistent with her disapproval of Willow's behavior in season 6 and obviously for her standing up for Buffy. And I love it. I love Tara.
She's just a girl's girl.
I just like seeing someone who's nice on the screen.
Yeah.
And who just like is just happy to be there.
Okay. So Buffy's little speech at the end of this episode to Xander, where she makes the decision not to pursue Ben and to be on her own, was something that I honestly had completely forgotten about. I remember this episode mostly just for the Buffy bot and Warren, but I forget about the massive amount of growth that Buffy goes through. And I'm so mad that that gets brushed under the rug. And I'm so mad that that kind of gets stunted because of what happens with the body and everything else after this. And I wonder how much better Buffy's life would have been if Joyce hadn't have died. Like,
her mental health was like getting so much better. And we'd seen it getting so much better since Riley left. Like, slowly but surely, but especially in this episode. And then it's like,
Riley leaves. She's like, oh man, I'm doing so much better. It's like a weight off my shoulders.
Yeah, honestly. There's just less pressure on her right now. And then all of a sudden, boom, Joyce is dead, the same episode. And you're like, oh, of course. This girl just cannot catch a break until the last episode. Like, Leah was so right when she said that. I think it was Leah or Sarah. I don't remember. But whichever one Leah of you said that, it just changes. The show changes after this episode. It's like, yeah, from here on Leah. Out, the entire show is just different. Buffy is different because of what happens, you know? And then things just get worse after that. It's not just Joyce dying. It's like, there's so many different things.
Well, and I will say, on one positive end, we really see Buffy grow in a way that we would not have seen her grow if her if her mom was there. And well, yes, I would have preferred Joyce to be alive. Buffy in season 5 and 6 comes into such a strength after her trials. And as hard as it is to watch Buffy go through it, there's something so beautiful and relatable about seeing someone that you view as strong go through moments of weakness. And I'm really happy that they gave Buffy something to deal with that was very human. Like, Joyce's death is so sad and it's so hard to watch and all this stuff, but I think that it adds so much to Buffy.
It's also, like, obviously it's partly Joss Whedon being like, he wants to give us some great growth right before the rug is pulled out from underneath the character. Like, he just likes doing that. But also, I think that it is especially poignant that Buffy reaches a new level of self-awareness and therefore strength right before she goes through arguably what is one of the hardest things she'll ever go through in life, which is losing her mom. And I think because obviously this is pre-dying, because she has found that new strength, she is able to move forward and do the hard things and all this stuff without falling on crutches that she probably would have in the past, like being, oh man, now I really do need a guy or whatever. And which we see her doing in season six, where she starts to spiral because she's in so much pain. In season five, she spirals to a certain amount because, I mean, like, you're going through an intense amount of trauma, but she doesn't start to deal with it in an unhealthy way by feeding addictions and things like that. And I think a lot of that is because of the self-awareness that she has in this moment. But as I was listening to her talking about all this stuff and like having the speech with Xander, it made me think about Chosen and how Buffy has the cookie dough speech and how she realizes she doesn't need a man to complete her, that she's still baking and that she's not sure if, you know, she will want to settle down and all that stuff. She doesn't know yet because she's still baking. This episode is the last time we see Buffy really working through her desires to have a relationship until that speech in Chosen. Critically Touched calls it the beginning of Buffy's self-exploration era, and I really agree with that. From here on out, she's technically single for the rest of the series. Even though she and Spike have a fling, they're never really technically in a relationship, even in season seven. And it's actually so fitting that she's single for the rest of this season and into season six and seven, because she's learning a lot about herself and exploring who she is apart from men and apart from a relationship with them. Like, the past four seasons and really half of this season has been a lot of the biggest and like the main storylines have been centered around Buffy's relationship with a man. And that's not necessarily bad. We've learned a lot, but it's time to move on past that and be like, okay, Buffy needs to learn about who she is apart from these people.
Well, in the process of that too, we see a lot of Buffy's mental health be brought up, which usually only really gets addressed, not all the time. It depends on how healthy of a person you are sometimes, but it usually gets a little bit more addressed when you have isolated time to yourself, because then you start realizing, oh, rather than dealing with it, I've just been busy in a relationship or jumped from relationship to relationship, so I don't have to address it. And for Buffy, that's not necessarily the case. There's a lot of factors. I mean, the Slayer itself as a whole, that's going to take so much away from that. But it's also caused a lot of mental health issues. But with Buffy being single mainly, and then also purposely hooking up with Spike so that she doesn't have to deal with it, and then realizing that in herself and then breaking up with Spike in the middle of season six, I'm just so proud of her. I'm like, that is a really hard thing to do. And to recognize in yourself and to be like, to make the healthy decision in that moment for her, specifically with her relationship with Spike and what she was avoiding on purpose in that relationship, and projecting into that relationship. I say relationship loosely. Anything could be a relationship.
It's a relationship, yeah.
Yes. I mean, anything could be a relationship when you are connected to somebody. We're not talking about like a exclusive relationship. Sure. But season seven is one of those where she definitely heals a bit more, but there is a lingering depression to me in Buffy in season seven. The fatigue is real in her. That is a depression fatigue. She's just tired. And it's not like in like a, oh, I'm so stressed, I'm burdened by this. Yes, I see it more as like a, I'm just coasting. I have to do it and I'm here and I'm doing it because that's what I've been doing, but I don't want to be doing it. And I'm just like, she's just coasting. So she's checked out in season seven. But I feel like there is a part of her that has like healed in some senses with her mental health and like trying not to project on people. But with that, it's weighing on her singularly. So
yeah,
poor girl.
And I think one of the things that I love about the show, but then I also get frustrated about, but then I'm also like, that's also just real life, is moments like this where she heals and she does really well. And then we have season six and parts of season seven. And then I'm like, well, that's realistic though, isn't it? Like there's going to be times where you do well and you're like, oh, I'm doing great. But then life hits you and hard things happen. And then you do poorly, even though you know you're doing the thing you shouldn't do. It happens because you're in such a bad mental state. And I think that the reason why Buffy is able to stand up at the end of the day and say, hey, this isn't good for me and it isn't good for you, Spike, because of the breakthrough that she has here. Because she knows that who she is apart from a man, and she knows who she is regardless of being in a relationship or not. And, you know, it's part of the story. It's part of the journey.
Of all the seasons, for Buffy to be genuinely not in a relationship for half the season, like not even like entertaining it, I'm glad it's season 5.
Yeah.
Because when Joyce passes away, she's able to connect and mourn with her and Dawn because it's both their shared parent. And I really, really appreciate that. Like if Joyce died in season 6, it'd be too much. I couldn't do it. As a viewer, I would be like, I'm not watching this season. There's too much happening. This poor girl. But I'm glad that she's able to kind of like mourn it, and her and Dawn have some really beautiful moments in the meantime.
Well, and I think it helps because you don't feel like Buffy has lost all of her family because Dawn is finally in the picture.
Yes.
So it doesn't feel like Buffy is fully alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even though I'm sure it feels like it for her. I'm curious. This just like popped into my head. If Joyce had stayed on for season 6 and season 7, do you guys think that Buffy would be in as bad of a mental space in season 6 as she is without Joyce?
Oh no, that's a different type of burden that you have to like be the caretaker of your younger daughter or younger sister, technically a daughter at that point. I'm just kidding. But like there's a different type of sadness and pressure and responsibility that she hasn't faced before. I think that adds to a lot of struggles.
Do you think she still would have been depressed and stuff though and slept with Spike?
Oh yeah, I think so. But I mean, yeah. I mean, I think that she still would, maybe not as extreme, but I think coming back from the dead is a huge, huge deal that still would have taken her down.
She's like, gosh, I'm so depressed. Oh, mom's here. It's okay. No big deal.
I do think it would have helped a little because she wouldn't have to worry about Dawn as much.
And having a job and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So speaking of Buffy and her not really having a relationship in season 7. I mean, I guess the writers really left it ambiguous with Spike because of everything with Seeing Red, and like they knew they couldn't like go all the way in, but they still wanted them to have somewhat of one. It makes me really glad that Nicholas Brennan and Sarah Michelle Gellar did not get their way and that Xander and Buffy never got into a relationship in season 7 like they wanted to.
I think I would have stopped watching the show. I literally think that would have made me be like, oh my, like you guys really don't understand the characters actually.
I think Sarah was really desperate.
I think she didn't want Spike and Buffy. Yeah, she's like, Xander, yes, that will work. Yeah, I like that Buffy is technically single in season 7. Could you imagine the show would have ended with Buffy and Xander together?
No, ma'am. Oh, my God.
And
no,
then
ma'am.
This whole time, Xander would have thought like it was all for Buffy. Like, Buffy was the one all along. Anya would have just been, like, the in-between girl. And, like,
dude, yeah, what would they
God.
Have done with Anya? Oh, that would have been so bad on so many levels.
Well, and then validated him leaving her at the altar.
And there would have been no cookie speech. Like, oh, I actually want to vomit.
I like it for multiple reasons. I'll give two. First is because that's rare in shows. I feel like every other show would have had like the guy friend who's been around for forever finally get together with Buffy, and like, because like, you know, I can kind of see why SMG and Nicholas Brendan were pushing for it because of how sweet moments are in this episode where he's encouraging her, he's there for her, you know, all this stuff. Sure, yeah, that would have been pretty great. We would have looked at this moment like, oh, this is foreshadowing. But I feel like every show does that. And I really liked, and honestly, the first time I watched the show, I remember being really surprised when I got to season 7 and realized the writers were never going to have Buffy and Xander get together. And I was like, this is so oddly refreshing. Like, I'm really glad they're doing something different, because I think organically, Xander and Buffy do not work together at all. I think Buffy needs somebody else. Also because Xander is too insecure. Like, that would be a very insecure relationship. But then the second reason, and more importantly, is because a small part of me feels a little smug that he never got Buffy. And that's why I will never read the comics.
Because he never deserved her.
No. Yeah. And I will never read the comics because apparently, so we all know that Xander and Dawn get together, but I don't know if you guys know. So in season, I think it's like season 8 of the comics or whatever, Buffy realizes she has feelings for Xander and wants to be in a relationship with Xander. And she goes to approach, she approaches him or something, and
they
he
really
chooses to be with Dawn.
In these storylines. Oh my God.
They just hate Buffy. I'm convinced.
Oh, it's so icky. It's so icky, you guys. I laugh because I feel like almost every spoiler section we bring up Xander and Dawn getting together in the comics, and every time we all just like, oh no, can't do it. All right. And then obviously the last thing that I'm going to talk about that I think everybody knows is that moment where April says, and things are always darkest before the dawn. And obviously doesn't say dawn, but I love that she doesn't finish that because our mind automatically says that. And we're thinking, oh, you know, people who haven't seen the show before are thinking, oh my goodness, darkest before the dawn. Like, what does that mean? And I love that, you know, the writers and Joss have kind of thrown us a red herring in with Dawn, because obviously Dawn is the catalyst for Buffy dying in the gift. But I love that we have the literal dawn, the sun rising. And that's kind of the moment that Buffy realizes, oh, I'm done. I can rest. I can put down my burden or my gifts, and I can embrace my gift, which is rest, which is death, but also my gift to the world and stuff. And so I don't know.
Well, not permanent rest.
Okay. We're not, again, we're not going to talk about season 6 anymore. But I just, I don't know. I get chills every time April is saying that whole scene, like we've talked about. It is so beautiful for many reasons. One of which is like April's literally dying. She is dying with a smile on her face. She's dying while saying all these chipper things that, you know, Warren's programmed her to, you know, toxic positivity and stuff. But she's saying the most eerie things, darkest before the dawn. And literally as she's saying that, like, I like to headcanon that at that moment, Joyce is probably passing away as well. And so it's like this moment of, I don't know, it's a fourth wall break of almost like you can feel the show bracing for something really big. And that's obviously the body next episode. So yeah, next episode's the body, guys. And we're not going to be having a spoiler section for that episode due just to the heaviness of the nature of the episode. But also the ramifications of that episode will be discussed for the rest of the season, particularly in Forever. And we will be dealing with ramifications of that for the rest of the show. And so any spoilers that we would have for that episode, we'll talk about in Forever. But we just felt like for that episode, it's just something that we kind of just need to do one and done for the sake of our own mental health, but also just because there's just not a need to have a spoiler section for it and stuff. So, but don't worry, we'll be back with the spoiler section for Forever. And yeah, that'll be, oh, I love Forever. It's gonna be a good episode. So
love Forever.
That episode makes me cry harder than the body, honestly.
Same.
I'm glad we're not doing spoilers for the body.
Yeah. I don't know what we would talk about. Like, what are we going to say?
Yeah.
We just cry. You know?
It's just very straightforward. Just silence and then us sobbing.
We're like, well, that was a beautiful episode. We're just going to be streaming the body for this entire taping. All right, guys. That is I Was Made to Love You. Let us know your guys' thoughts. Let us know what you guys think about how this episode ties into season 6. Do you guys have a soft spot for season 6, or do you just think that it's a really hard watch? I feel like season 6 is so polarizing. It's really hard to find someone that's like, yeah, season 6 is okay. It's usually I hate it or I love it. Like, there's just no in between. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Tumblr at Becoming Buffy Podcast, and you can email us at becomingbuffypodcast@gmail.com. A special shout out and thank you to our producers, Christine, CJ, Kate, Omri, Paul, and Cashan. Thank you so much to all of our listeners, and we will talk to you all next time.